Tech Talk is underway. Doug Swinhart in the studio. And, of course, calls and texts, a big part of the show. Here's the phone number, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. You can text 81807, that is 81807, here at CCO. And once again, text line open, phone lines open right now, and we invite you to call as early as you can, because we always run out of time at the end of the program. Doug, good to see you.
Absolutely wonderful to be here, Steve. We got a little snow the other day, and the roads are getting better today, so we should be in good shape.
Yeah, a little snow. This is a recording. Boy, it's snowy February. We start out March that way. Now it's going to be really cold tomorrow and Monday. A wind chill advisory goes into effect at midnight tonight. Couple of things. Beware. Couple of people I know have seen these pop-ups. They look really scary from Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on there? It looks really official. It's pops up on your screen, kind of takes over, and it's a call now.
Yeah, it's not good. These have been out for, a few weeks now, and I'm actually getting a lot of calls. I tell people just shut down the browser, restart your computer, reopen a different browser and see if it's there. If it's there, go get ADW Cleaner at Major Geeks, my favorite file depository, and run a clean and get rid of it. Most of the time, this is not on your computer. 99% of the time, it's a web page that's being displayed. It would be like thinking about, well, something comes across your TV screen and telling you that your TV doesn't work, but yet it's still working. It's kind of that sort of thing. So don't get alarmed. Don't get excited. Restart your computer. Or you could even try just to close out the browser and open up a different browser on the same website. Many people think that the websites are infected. I don't think that's the case. I think this is particles and bits stuck in routers and tunnels and gateways. I don't think that the websites are actually infected. The big thing is your machine 99% of the time has not been affected.
It is Tech Talk. Doug in studio. Phone number again, 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. That is 81807. One thing I wanted to follow up from a week ago, and we didn't get to it on the program, is can I switch out my regular hard drive to a solid state drive? Is that doable, or do I need to hire someone to do it?
It absolutely is doable. The big thing is to do a little bit of study. If you have a desktop, you're also going to require a small adapter, because normal hard drives, as you know, in a desktop are 3.5 inch, and the SSDs are 2.5 inch. You don't want them flopping around in there. Inside, a lot of cases will accommodate both sizes. Make sure of that first. If you want to mirror your drive, I highly recommend that you get a Samsung SSD drive. Go to the Samsung website, locate, download, and run the Samsung data migration tool. This will actually mirror your drive. And just because you've got a full terabyte drive does not mean you have to have a terabit SSD drive. If you know how to see how much data you've got on your terabit rotary drive, and a lot of times it's 100 gigs, 120 gigs, you should be able to get a 250 or 240 gig SSD drive, mirror it, and with the data migration tool, it will actually automatically resize the partitions. Not that tough. Anybody can do it. I'm seriously talking about anybody. If you just take a little time, do a little study, back up your data to make sure you go the right way when you copy the drive, and then you're good to go. Anybody can do it.
Yeah, and let's get into backups a little bit. Oh. We have another chilly weekend. There's no excuse not to have copies of your data. Not your entire computer, not a complete backup. Just those files and photos, those things that are important. And if you're not good or you tend to procrastinate, spend a few bucks and hire a service. There's a lot of them out there, and back up that data.
You and I, Steve, cannot emphasize this enough.
No.
As long as we've been on the program, I am absolutely amazed. And I still get calls, well, you know, I got these photographs from, and some of them now, 25 years ago, and I never took a copy, and now my XP machine, my XP computer has died. Well, we take that drive out, and maybe that we can get it, and maybe we can't. Yeah. 25 years, Steve, is a long time to procrastinate. And I'm glad you brought up the services. For $4 or $5 a month, for goodness sake, you can have an online service, Mosey, Carbonite. There are several companies local that do this. You actually connect to their computer, set it up so it takes your docs, your pictures, your music, your videos, and you can be very selective about what you send up to their cloud service. So it doesn't take very long. And then in the morning you come in and there's a little notice on your desktop that says, we got this many files. We've modified this many files. It's just a no-brainer. There is no reason on the planet why people do not have multiple copies of important data, especially, and I'm going to say it again, especially your pictures.
There are a lot of good ones. For instance, I took a moment while you were giving your answer and chatting about this. At Carbonite, $6 a month, one computer, they back it up automatically.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know.
Now, that's billed annually, and I don't want to spend anybody's money. And there are ways you can back up your data. But if you're concerned about forgetting or put things off or I don't have time right now or I'm too busy or whatever, it's hard to beat this peace of mind to back up that data.
$72 a year. Okay, I've got 20 years of photographs, and they're going to be gone. Would you pay $72 to get them back? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. So back up that data. There's a lot of great ways to do it. Once again, just make sure you're doing it, because when you run into problems and you need to call a guy like Doug to help you out, the first thing he's going to ask, the first thing you're going to ask, you have copies of the data.
Yeah. Do I need to go after data? Because saving data is job one. Yeah. Save that data.
Yep, for sure. 115, Tech Talk underway. Here are the phone numbers. It is all about your calls and texts. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. That is 81807. Let's start with Jeff. Jeff, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Jeff. What's up?
Well, I went to start my Windows 10 computer this morning, and when I started it up, it didn't boot up fully. I just got a blank screen, and I have the mouse cursor, and I have the blue power light and a red, what looks to be like a hard drive light, blinking.
Is this a laptop or a desktop?
This is a desktop, and I'm wondering if it's a Windows 10 update. I thought I saw something prior to shutting it down, that there might be a Windows 10 update coming.
I had it
on though for about a couple hours before I finally turned it off to kill it and restart it.
And then when you restarted, what happened?
Same thing.
And that's you're. If you were close to my house, I would tell you to bring that over, and I would boot it with a Linux USB drive to make sure your data is safe. You can allow that thing to go, but if that light, that red light, is solid and it's your hard drive light, that's not a good sign. I wouldn't be pounding on that with no activity on the processor or the RAM. Yet this one's going to probably need some service. I wish I had a quick fix, but I do not.
Yeah, and that is one, Jeff, where you want to probably, because of the data, and hopefully Jeff has his data backed up. Let's go to Wendy in Hopkins. Wendy, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Wendy. What's going on?
I am wondering if there's a way to set font and size for emails that would, you know, automatically set.
Yeah, it depends on your email program, but I know for sure that if this was a huge issue, we still want to keep your email set up as web-based. But I would recommend that you download and install Mozilla Thunderbird, and you can set the fonts for the receiving, for when you're reading and how you send it. And that would give you a local email client, but make certain you set it up as IMAP, IMAP, or web-based. And that way it won't affect any other way you're getting your mail. But, yeah, definitely doable. Absolutely. In Google and using Gmail in a browser, that becomes a little bit more of an issue. Just go up into the settings and take a look, and you should be able to set that too. Most of the time when I get this request, I end up actually changing the font for the computer system-wide. So, yeah, and if you give me a call next week if you like, and we can walk through a couple of procedures and straighten that out for you, but absolutely doable.
Let's go to Jim in Ridgefield. Jim, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, my name is Jim Grant, and Microsoft updated my computer over the night time, and I can't print anything from my computer anymore. My printer works, my fax works, but it when I bring up the printer, all it does is I'll bring it down here. Okay, it comes up and it says, no printer found.
Mm. Yeah, well, you might have it offline, but I doubt it. If you just recently got an update, you might want to give me a call so I can take a look. It might have actually got a different IP address. If you go into your printers folder, but in Windows 10, it gets a little sticky on how to get there. But it's under printers and devices in your settings. And just go in that little window and take a peek to see. You might be able to just add another printer, but then you're going to want to delete the one that's default. But it could be a Wi-Fi thing, but it should be all right. Windows updates has a tendency of updating drivers, and they're not always accurate. But that could be a little challenge just discovering what's going on there. Thank you for the call, and if you want to call me next week, I'd be happy to help you.
Yeah, and one of the things I would probably do if it was just me, I would probably uninstall and reinstall the printer on the computer. I would probably start over and not fool around, because printers can be a problem if they're not operating properly or they don't recognize it. Sometimes it's better, like you said, to just add the new printer, set it as a default, move on with your life.
Yeah, and if you decide to reinstall it completely, I would go to the manufacturer, HP, Epson, whoever, and download the appropriate drivers. And what you're going to find with Windows 10 is a lot of times there's no drivers or software to download. It's supposedly supposed to be plug and play perfect. But that generally, just by adding a printer, it will solve that issue. And good luck to you. And I hope that helps.
Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart. He's in studio and full line, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Keep that number handy. It's good for all our programs here on CCO. Same deal with the text line at 81807. That is 81807. 121, sunny for now, 17 degrees, clouds moving in later, and then it'll clear out, bitter cold tonight, tomorrow night, even into Monday. Let's go to Gary in Maple Grove. Gary, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, I have a question. What happened to all three of my computers, two Windows 10, one Windows 7, that the passwords were deleted? They were unprotected.
Oh, that's really bizarre. Throughout your whole house?
Two of them were laptop, and one is the tower.
Oh, I'd really want to take a look at least two of those machines. Something's off there. Something is way, way off. I'm not certain if you're talking about your Wi-Fi passwords. Now, you can actually set up Windows 10 without a password when you first initialize it. You can set up Windows 10 to run as a local machine or a machine that must be connected to the internet just to even run the operating system. So we've got some flexibility there. But once you have a password set, it's nearly impossible for that to lose or disappear unless it was done manually. Yeah, I'd like to take a look at a couple of them. Give me a call next week and we'll hook up remotely. But yeah, this is way off, especially multiples in one location. That's bizarre.
It is 1:23, Tech Talk with Doug, well underway. Let's go to the text line for a moment. We promise more phone calls momentarily. Thinking of a new laptop, I'm exploring one with a Linux operating system. What would you suggest as far as a Linux operating system? And can you buy a laptop with Linux, or do you always need to get Windows?
I think there's several manufacturers that are beginning to come towards Linux systems. Most of them will come pre-installed with Ubuntu. I actually prefer Linux Lite or Linux Mint. And it really is not that difficult to do. However, you should know that a lot of these new computers, if you buy a new computer today and you start replacing the operating system, you could possibly void your warranty. I think it might be better for you to look for a refurb computer that has a 30, 60, 90 day. Make certain it's a computer that would be easy to change out the hard drive. And make sure you know what kind of hard drive it is. Solid state drive or a rotary drive. Even the solid state drives have different formats. And most of the manufacturers will download a service manual. So you can kind of get a grip on, well, how tough is this? If it were me with a new computer or you brought that to my place, I would actually take the original drive out and set it aside before I ever powered it up. Put in a different drive, install Linux, not that big a deal, and let the good times roll. With a new HP laptop, for example, I think people would be ecstatic with Linux Mint. It is just a lovely operating system. Great, great text, and thank you so much.
I have an old Mac from 1987. Do you know anybody in town that works on these?
That's tough. I would play with it a little bit, but I got to tell you, I would not spend much time on that. Unless there's some antique value, it's not going to be really a machine that will service you well in the future. Real dicey on the internet. To replace parts on these things is nearly impossible, but I'd give it a look for sure.
All right, Doug, from our text line, this is a good one. I have a friend who just bought a new gaming PC, and it's running really hot.
Yeah, that's something you're going to want to watch. Temperatures, I'm not certain if we have things overclocked. You're going to want to get some fans in that baby. No, there's a lot of techniques to cool a computer, but you need to find this root cause. If it was a gaming computer and it came with liquid cooling, I'd be looking at that immediately. If that isn't put together exactly correctly, that you're not going to cool as well as you should. You're also going to be wanting to take a look at your video card. There is a lot of software on the internet that you can download to control fans and control temperatures. But this is an issue that should be addressed immediately. Heat is our enemy with computers. They start overheating and they'll burn. I've seen laptops, Steve, that the motherboards look like somebody took a torch to them. They got a big brown spot on them in certain places. I've seen where the processors have actually melted through the little plastic seats. Heat is our enemy. That needs to be addressed post-haste.
Yeah, for sure. And if you did buy it new, I would assume there's some sort of warranty.
Oh, absolutely.
But if it is running hot, you want to take that up with the manufacturer or wherever you purchase that computer for sure. Is there still a way to make Windows 10 seem like you're using Windows 7? This one comes up from time to time.
It does. The gentleman who actually produced a program called Classic Shell has just released it to the public, and I really like the original Classic Shell. If you can't find it, give me a call, and I'll shoot you a copy over or something. But yeah, you can turn that thing to look like an XP, a Windows 7, single-row menu, double-row menu, get your taskbar back, and it's just slick and clean and easy. Classic Shell. And there are many, many shells available for Windows 10, but I really like the original Classic Shell.
All right. Good one. And that's been around for a while.
It has.
I remember when Windows 7 and then Windows 8 came out. I believe that's around the time that interface became a concern with people.
You are absolutely correct. Classic Shell came out about 6 weeks after the original introduction of Windows 8, and it was a godsend. Now, the Metro interface with Windows 10 on a portable device that you're carrying around and you can use as a touchscreen is a wonderful, wonderful interface. However, in my opinion, with a laptop or a desktop where you're sitting down to do actual office work, I personally prefer the original desktop. The taskbar, the menu button, icons that I can make disappear immediately. But it's personal preference. I know people that prefer the Metro interface. I'm not one of those folks, so I relate to your text.
128 here at CCO. We're going to take a break for the weather. When we get done with that break, we'll go to Lee and phone lines. We have a couple open at 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. If you want to talk to Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, or you can text 81807. That is 81807. Tech Talk continues in a moment. It is 1:34 here at CCO. Steve Thompson, Doug Swinhart, Jonathan Lohr, studio producer today. And the deal on Tech Talk, give us a call, 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. If you're wondering about Doug's phone number and email, we'll have that for you at the end of the program today. So don't fret. We always give out his phone number and email a couple of times at the end of the program. We have a ton on the text line, but we promised phone calls first. Let's begin with Robin. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi. How do I safely send financial information using Hotmail email?
Oh, you know, I would really encourage you to get a Gmail account. But your Hotmail, even though your address says at hotmail.com, you're actually going through a Microsoft Outlook server. As long as you know who the recipient is, and you could encrypt it, you could turn it into a PDF file with a password. That's doable. But I'm thinking you should get yourself a Gmail account. And the cost is what you're looking for. It's free. The biggest trouble you'll have with a Gmail account, setting one up, is trying to figure out a name for your email account. Try to keep it as short as possible. But I think this is an example of where Gmail is just going to outshine anything. And thank you for the call, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, it is one of those where Gmail's still a no-brainer. It's free. And what you can do with that account is pretty extraordinary. We talked at the beginning, and we usually do, about back up your data. One of my favorite tricks, if it's really important, it's a document or a photo I absolutely positively don't want to lose. And Doug, I know you use this. It's as easy as can be. Email it to yourself.
Absolutely. You don't even have to open up another window. Either that or if you're using Gmail in a web browser, go up and click the apps, click Drive, and drag that file right straight from your folder right up to Drive and save it. It's that simple. It will go up to the cloud, and you will have it up there forever. And your data on Google Drive, I truly believe, is safer on a Google server than it is in your house or on a laptop or on your phone. I truly believe that. And that's great, great text. Great text.
And by the way, text line, great way to go, 81807. That is 81807. Let's bring in Lee in Brooklyn Park. Lee, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
So you've helped me many times before. So I have Kaspersky Total Security, and I keep getting about four or five pop-ups saying they can't guarantee my certificate, all from Google Chrome. And there is a bug out there. They're supposed to be working on it, but is there anything you can help me with?
I got to tell you that I know that there's some controversy going on between Kaspersky and several of the browsers at this point. I, I, I don't know when your subscription is due, but I think I would suggest that you alleviate that from your computer completely. Just remove it and go get a premium version of Malware Bytes and let the good times roll. You'll be much happier, much, much smoother, and it should go just fine for you. And I'm sorry for your difficulties, but this is a condition that's continuing, and I'm not certain exactly what's happening. Kaspersky says it's everybody else. I don't know whether they're locking up servers from Russia to us or what's going on. I've seen this before. Thank you for the call, but I don't have a quick fix.
Okay, Doug, we get this all the time. Once again, if you have a Windows 10 machine, Windows Defender should be enough.
You should be all right. Now, if you're concerned about a higher level of security, or if you are attempting to cut the umbilical cord between you and Microsoft completely, then, yes, you're going to want to step up to a commercial. Malware Bytes, Bitdefender, great, great product. AVG is back on the move again. But I got to tell you, when it comes to resource low, high production, Malware Bytes has got it. They've had it for the last 60 to 90 days. By the way, Steve, I don't know if you noticed, but Firefox came out with a new build of the browser. Fast? Oh, my God. Secure? Oh, baby. They're ranked number one across the country and possibly the globe here last 2 weeks. Things change in a hurry around here, you know.
Speaking of browsers, this is a good one. I'm having an issue with websites not loading properly or completely. Pictures don't load, links don't work, etc. I have to refresh them several times. It started a couple of weeks ago. I have an Asus laptop, about 2 years old, running Windows 10. SlimJet is my main browser, but it happens in Chrome, Firefox, and Opera. What could be going on here?
There could be several factors into this. This is probably a Windows 10 computer that has never actually been tweaked or modified. You've got some work to do here. You got to locate and download the free version of CCleaner and run that, both the cleaner and the RegClean. You're going to want to be looking at all your browsers to see if extensions have been added. You're also going to want to locate and download SpyBot ActiveBeacon. And then you're going to need to do some research on how Windows 10 is connecting your movements, and they're creating data to sell. And sometimes they're distributing this data to 3,000 different points. And if you give me a call or send me an email, I can give you some websites that will help you walk through this. I think this is more than just browsers going on. I think this is operating system, possibly internet connection, but it's definitely OS and browsers. And you may have to completely uninstall several of your browsers and make sure everything is running properly. Great text, but a lot to cover in a short time.
Yeah, for sure. And that is very unusual, though. One of the things we talk about a great deal on the program, having multiple browsers, and I would say 99 times out of 100, if you're having an issue with a website, say in Firefox, you switch over to Chrome or Safari or whatever you use. I'm not a big fan of Internet Explorer.
No, but you can't use it at all anymore. No.
Yeah.
If you're gonna, you can use Edge if you got 10. But I actually encourage people to, when they get a Windows 10 machine, go right under the control panel and take Internet Explorer completely out. It's outdated. It's not going to do a thing for you. But this particular texter, it wouldn't surprise me if we found Windows updates that were looped in the background. Something is going on that's revving up his CPU processes, revving up his memory, and it's just sucking his resources dry. And that's going to be the root cause to this. I think the browsers are the end result, and what we are seeing is in the browsers. But there's a lot more going on this machine.
Yeah, that is frustrating for sure. Here's a good one from the text line, and we promise we'll go to the phone lines momentarily at 651-989-9226. Is there a way to get pictures from my iPhone, from the cloud, to my Dell computer? So say I have them stored up there, and how do I bring them down?
Oh, this is easy. Open up a web browser. Go to iCloud.com, which is your Apple account. Log in with a web base and download them. Instructions are right there. Bang, 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 and you're in, and you're done. And you can copy them, you can move them, but I'd leave them up in the cloud and just make another copy. Yeah, that's a snap. Apple does a good job at just discover that website. And if you've got an iCloud account, and I'm sure you do, if you've got an Apple equipment of any kind, you've set up an iCloud account already. And just rock and roll. I mean, that's an easy one right there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the iCloud account is a cool thing because I had a phone that needed help, eventually started to die on me. You know, and I had had it for a few years. It was a good run. I mean, if you think about what these phones go through in your pocket, you know, morning, noon, and night, the multiple recharges, et cetera. Anyway, I needed a new phone. Go in, stuff's on up in the iCloud account, bring it down, all my contacts, all my photos. I had to play around with some of the apps, but that's no big deal. And I was ready to go.
It's a godsend. Especially if you're changing equipment. Yeah, Apple's got this put together really well, in my opinion. Really, really well.
Yeah, so photos should be a breeze. Poke around a little bit, take your time, but it shouldn't be an issue. We've got time to go to the phone lines for sure here on Tech Talk, and let's bring in Mark in Maple Grove. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Say you were talking about Google Drive. I just finally upgraded my Office Outlook to Office 365 for home, and it includes 6 users. It includes 1 terabyte of space per user for Google Drive, and it allows you to use not only on your computer but also your tablets and your phones. It's an amazing product for $100 from Best Buy.
Now, let me get this straight. Office 365 now allows you to connect to your Google Drive?
Yeah, it includes 1 terabyte of space per user.
And they're paying that to Google?
Yeah, apparently. Because
I got to look into this. This is new news for me. I didn't think we'd ever hear this kind of cooperation between the two biggies. But thank you. I'll check that out for absolute certain.
But
thank you for the call.
There's a tremendous amount of competition right now. And I think going back to the Gmail account and what they started, I think all their competitors looked at it and said, We got to get into this game because the Gmail account, the storage, all the other apps and all the other associated programs, hard to beat.
Well, you know, 20, 25 years ago, and I don't remember exactly when, Google was saying, listen, everything is going to be web-based coming up. People laughed. Oh, that's not possible. Oh, no, they said someday you're going to have a computer. You're going to turn it on. You're going to connect to the Internet, and it's all going to be automatic under your name, your account, all secure up. And they weren't even calling it the cloud then. Up in the Internet, they called it. And everybody laughed. No, but since then, people are seeing this evolution, if you will, to where this is huge. I do know that Microsoft was attempting this kind of storage on their end. I'm surprised that they're actually tying it together with Google. Yeah. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll dig into that. Maybe you'll take a look at it. I know we have a ball game the next couple of weeks, but later in the month you'll be back.
And sure, we'll give us some time to take a peek at it.
Yeah, for sure. Do you see prices coming down on video cards here in 2019? You know how this goes. I remember once upon a time, here's just an example, it has nothing to do with video cards, solid state drives, and where they were coming out of the gate and where they are today. They're almost giving them away.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, video cards are a different thing. The pricing on video cards actually go down as rapidly as the rest of equipment. However, the first equipment out is upper echelon equipment. A lot of it, they'll even tell you, is still in beta. These video cards are truly pushing the envelope of performance. And when you're looking at video cards, seriously, Steve, you can spend $20 to $1,500 on a video card. I mean, but the range is incredible. The big thing is to match that video card to the system you're putting it in, not just so it runs, but also the timing issues. You can have the best video card on the planet, but if you're working with a rotary hard drive, That's going to be a killer. You got to determine where that bottleneck is if you're looking to tweak that performance and work from there first. But video cards, I understand what this texter's saying. Sky is the limit. I mean, it really is. This is a place where you really don't want to start at the top and work down. You want to figure out kind of what you want to spend and find the best buy within that. If you just go to microcenter.com and click on computer parts and go to video cards, you'll be amazed at the volume of products that are out there. NVIDIA, ATI obviously are the big ones, but there are several other ones. But they're going to be your main chips on the board. It's quite the technology indeed. And yeah, there's really not much news for there.
From our text line at 81807, that is 81807, Dell laptop says the AC adapter is connected, but the battery is not charging. I've tried a new battery and a new AC adapter, and it just won't charge.
There's a component in a laptop that switches from battery to AC. It's very possible it's that component. If it's not that component, or if that component cannot be replaced, I would suggest going to another computer, downloading the service manual from Dell, and they're pretty good about this, and take a peek to see if it's something you can replace. Run a search on Google for this same thing, giving your exact model number and make of the computer. Also, check iFixit.com. They do a tremendous amount with batteries and laptops and replacing this equipment. A great resource for doing your own repairs. iFixit.com. iFixit.com. Great site. And thank you for the text.
Quick break. We have more Tech Talk coming up with Doug. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. That is 81807. And we'll continue in a moment. Final segment of the program, a very quick hour indeed. Tech Talk, Doug Swindehart in studio. Big thanks to Jonathan Lowe, our producer today, always doing an outstanding job. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. Let's go to Gary. Gary in Corcoran, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, hi. I have a question for Doug. I have two Samsung SSDs, one's for a Linux machine, one's for a 8.1 Microsoft. Does the Samsung software work for Linux?
No. That you would actually have... Well, you really, if you've installed Linux on that, you've already got a USB live drive, and you might even want to be taking a look at an update. I would not bother with that, because Linux, well, it's so quick and easy to install that just rock and roll. But no, they don't support that software, so you can do it within the operating system. That's pure Windows. Windows 7, Windows 8, or Windows 10. I'm not certain if they have a Mac version, but I don't believe they do. But Mac also has drive mirroring software. But on Linux, it's just not done. Linux is just, it's so secure-minded that you're going to want to just do a quick install. But if you've already worked with Linux, you should be able to do a fresh install in less than an hour, standing on your head.
Yeah, it is amazing, and he brought up these SSD drives. I just was poking around online. Best Buy is $60.
Yeah. I put in a 240 the other day that I bought on sale, $22.
Oh.
240.
Hard to beat.
And, yeah.
And if you have a little bit older computer, you will see increased performance. And Doug, you brought it up, and I know we're tight on time, but if you want to do one thing to your computer, think about that.
Well, it's just a no-brainer, especially with laptops. An SSD drive takes a fraction of the power. So you, with a laptop, will experience some, and I got to put quotes around that word, some, you should experience some extended battery life. Of course, we all know laptops, the biggest drain are our monitors, our LCD displays. In addition to that, they take a fraction. They don't create any heat whatsoever. And they're smaller, they're lighter, so you're saving a little bit of weight too. But this is the one thing that every computer owner could do to extend the life of their machine a great deal.
To the phones we go again. Daryl in St. Michael. Daryl, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi,
hello?
Daryl. Do we got you?
Yep.
What's up?
I have a Windows 10 HP laptop, and when I come out of the screensaver, it doesn't ask for the password. I have to power cycle every time.
You can actually, if you're using the Metro screen, you need to get down so you got a search box. And I think if you've got a flat Windows install, it'll be the Cortana box. And just type screensaver in there. And that will bring up the old Windows 7 screensaver. And you can set whatever you want. And I believe there's a check mark in there that asks for password. If not, there's an advanced button that will take you into the old style. Different versions of Windows 10 give you different access to this. But if you give me a call, I can connect up to you, and we can take care of that in minutes as well. And thank you for the call.
All right, quick follow-up, and then we got to go. What to use instead of Internet Explorer for a browser? Firefox, Chrome, there's a lot of good browsers.
Yeah, Firefox is my go-to. Chrome would be my second. Opera's doing a tremendous job. There's another new browser, well, relatively new, called Vivaldi. The gentleman that used to run Opera started his own business, and that's Vivaldi. A wonder, there's a plethora of good browsers out there.
Safari comes on a Mac. That's good on PCs.
Oh, yeah.
Works well.
Oh, so, yeah, absolutely.
But Internet Explorer, I'd probably go in another direction.
Nah, not so good no more.
All right, we got to run. Doug, phone number and email.
Thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, WCCO Tech. WCCOTECH.com. 651-552-9543.
All right, Doug, see you in a few weeks.
Thank you.